Hi there. I'm Bunny Terry, and you're listening to the I Love New Mexico podcast. Whether you're a native New Mexican who's lived here for your entire life, or you're just considering a visit, this episode is for you. Join us as we share a lot of New Mexico stories, talk about all things New Mexico, and include topics like what's magical here, where you ought to visit, what's happening, and the things you absolutely cannot miss in the land of enchantment. We're excited that you're here, and we can't wait to show you what an amazing place New Mexico is, because let's face it, I love New Mexico. So today on the I Love New Mexico podcast, we've got something I don't know that we've ever had before. I'm kind of racking my brain. I've got a pair of brothers who grew up in Albuquerque. I'm sorry that we weren't recording before we began, because we've all been telling our stories. But I'm just going to turn the mics over. I want you guys to tell people who you are and what you're doing and why we were so anxious to talk to you.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much. Sure, go for it.
Okay. Since I'm the older brother, I'll go first. How's that? My name's Carlos Meyer. I'm a Nuevo Mexicano, generational. My mom comes from Monte Chico, New Mexico. My dad comes from the big city of Las Vegas, New Mexico. They got married, and they came down to the North Valley of Albuquerque, Alameda. And that's where I was raised and born. And there's nine of us, so I'm three of nine. So,
and then, go from here. So I'm nine of nine, again, from Alameda, New Mexico. And I have been living in Los Angeles for a number of years, enjoying crazy weather sometimes and earthquakes and fires and, always missing New Mexico. So what Carlos and I actually do is write children's adventure stories, all based in New Mexico lore and New Mexico history, because we're trying to capture a time and place of the 1940s New Mexico, which is our parents' generation. Our mother, Consuelo Lucero, was a 10 of 11 or 9 of 11?
I think nine of 11, yes.
Okay, yes. So she's nine. Nine of nine. And so we're trying to talk about culture and places of New Mexico that are unique to us. Much the way Rodolfo and I did, but what we're doing is having a children's viewpoint and a children's adventure story to throw in some fantasy and adventure into it. The book that we've talked a lot about is Under the Cottonwood Tree, El Susto de la Curandera, a children's adventure story.
When I was looking at your bios, I immediately thought of Bless Mi Ultima and Rodolfo, and I thought what was cool when you just said that your mom was from Anton Chico. I mean, that was his neck of the woods. So.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Bless Mi Ultima was a story that was based in that time frame as well. So I think it's really, really timely and interesting that you're doing the same sort of similar time frame and stories, but for kids. So are these graphic novels? Are they picture books? What are?
So when I was a kid, we called them comic books, but now they're high-fidelity graphic novels. Right, Carlos?
Yes, graphic novels. Yes, they're this took a long time to come to fruition with this book. It's won a lot of awards. It's a graphic novel. A lot of schools have picked it up and are teaching it in schools. Pecos Elementary School in Pecos, I take a drive there every year because it's part of their subject. And I'm like a little celebrity there. I look at the book and I open it and we read it together. And so, yes, it's people have gravitated towards this, especially because it focuses on the Puro Nuevo Mexicano story of Northern Mexico. And of course, Rudolf and I is one of our mentors. Yeah.
And in fact, so Under the Cottonwood Tree is actually based on a dream that I had when I was 10 years old. And it was, there we were in Alameda. Carlos was raising cattle. And I had a dream about this little calf talking to me. So the very next day, I told that to Carlos. And he said, oh, that sounds like a children's book. How about if we write it and make a children's book out of it? So Carlos wrote it. And it was pretty much verbatim of the dream that I had. And then my eldest brother, Julio, illustrated it. And a few years later, it was actually published right along with Rodolfo and I in the Quinto Sol Press. They did an anthology that year, like in 1982. And so it's actually a part of a collection. So it was great that we were honored to be amongst Rodolfo in that book. And then years later, Carlos and I turn it into a screenplay, and then we shop it around Hollywood. But of course, in Hollywood, they like to see proof of concept. So we turn that into the graphic novel with the help of Margaret Hardy, who is a uber talented illustrator, and she brought it to fruition for us. So that's a quick rundown of Under the Cottonwood Tree.
And so are we going to see this on the screen?
Ooh. Well, fingers crossed. So what has been happening lately is we were able to at least talk to some of the studios. We talked to Disney, we talked to Nickelodeon, and it was great for us because we finally, as they call it in Hollywood, get to be in the room. But of course, we didn't actually get to go to the studios because it was COVID during the time. So we got to have Zoom sessions. So we were in the room, but it was more of a virtual room, but we were still happy to at least talk, right? So Nickelodeon seemed really interested. They asked us for 6 pages of, we're going to do a short, which is kind of like a proof of concept that would go into their system. If they like it, then it could go to series. But that was actually an extrapolation of Under the Cottonwood Tree of a different story called Granuda Into the Paraje. And how about if we have Carlos talk about how Granuda came into being?
Okay. Well, here in Northern Mexico, it's full of stories. Stories everywhere. There's stories galore. But here's just a little. My mom, she had 7 brothers growing up in Alto Chico, and her older brothers would make fun of her. Says, you're glanuda from because glanuda means basically like a person with messy hair. Wake up in the morning, you know how you're. In fact, a lot of people have their glanuda story. Their messy hair in the morning. Oh, you're glanuda. So they would call my mom glanuda, and so that was kind of like her nickname. But later on in I got to know this lady, probably from my mom's generation, and she would tell a story, because she's from up Northern Mexico to Rio Purple area, and she moved to Albuquerque, and she would tell her story. But she said that on Sunday morning, her mom would especially make sure her hair was all combed and get ready for church, because her mom would tell her, I don't want you to look all glanuda like the girls from Alto Chico. And that I thought, well, that's my mom. So it generated into an origin of a little girl superhero. So that's glanuda.
So when Carlos was telling me that story, and I thought, oh my gosh, well, that's our mom from the ranch in Alto Chico. And so what we're trying to say is, oftentimes you hear that word and it implies, it says, it's literally it's messy hair, but it also implies poor and unsophisticated. So Carlos and I thought, what if we based a little Chicana superhero that is really embracing her difference? Yes, she's from the ranch. Yes, she only has friends that are animals that she talks to, but what if she's actually, you know, that's, let's embrace the specialist, the difference, the from what other people make fun of her, let's embrace that and use that, and that is her superpower. So we've developed a storyline that is a full animated movie. But what we're doing now is we are doing a Kickstarter campaign to raise money to do a 6-minute animated short that is going to be a proof of concept. We're going to introduce all of our characters. And this is the short that we were working on for Nickelodeon, but eventually they end up passing on it. And they
it came this close, this close.
Well, as far as we know, it came pretty close. But they said they had something too similar, which to us, we believe that means they had a box that said Latino and it was checked off already. And a lot of times in Hollywood, they can't have like two competing. Oh, you have a little Latina superhero? Oh, well, we can't have two of them at the same time, right? So now we're determined just to do it on our own. So raise the money. We found an awesome illustrator named Maya Ludi Shepherd out of Colorado. So not too far from New Mexico. And she is our go-to now for animation. And she's knocked out of the ballpark with these awesome illustrations. And we'll be able to, people will be able to look on to the Granuta.com's website and see the awesome art that Maya has come up with.
Well, and what a great concept for kids that you use your differences to, you view them as superpowers instead of as deficiencies.
Right. Yeah.
And what a great gift to give a bunch of kids.
That's what we're hoping.
Yeah, thank you.
I really like that.
I just wanted to add that we're invited to Los Luceros. Every year they have a festival in September, and we're invited to promote our book, but we actually introduced Granuta, and people were like, everybody has a Granuta story, and people were, all the Norteños were kind of, I could relate to Granuta. So it's getting a really good reception and vibe. And I'm hoping Paul's going to show some of those fantastic illustrations that Maya's going to.
Well, all they have to do is go to Granuta.com. So listeners click on Granuta.com and they'll be able to
spell that for people. Oh, so they
sure.
know.
GRENUDA.com. So
okay, and we're gonna have, of course, there are links to everything that you've produced or that you're in that you've created with the show notes, and awesome. So that people can find them. But still, you know, I always say to the guests, you know, we've got to assume that there are people listening. We have listeners from all over the world who hardly know where Albuquerque is. Mm-hmm. But and when we're talking about places like Anton Chico or, you know, we talked before about Carlos, how your wife was from, her folks were from Roy and Mosquero. We're talking about communities of like 300 people at the most, right?
Yes.
Tiny little communities where everybody knows each other. And I just think that's interesting that you heard the story of somebody whose mom was like the girls from Anton Chico.
Like the girls from Anton Chico.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Well, I just wanted to talk about the talent that Paul was able to gather to be the voices of the characters for Granuta. And maybe Paul can elaborate on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a few of the listeners will be familiar with these names, including Carlos Medina. So Carlos Medina, a true Norteño. We love listening to his music. We love listening to his comedy. So he's so talented that we're going to have two characters voiced by him. One of the characters is the Duende. So he's like a little magic gnome and the other character is a Chegualito. So the Chegualito is a Native American sort of a boogeyman creature creation that we came up with. But since he's a child, he doesn't know that he's actually breathes fire and is going to grow up to be a giant. He doesn't know that yet. So Carlos is playing that role. And then we have the uber talented actress, musician, and people may know of her as what was her character?
Lynette Albuquerque.
Yeah, Lynette in Albuquerque.
The stuff. Yeah, can you say?
yeah, that one. I'm the YouTube channel for I spaced the name out. But Lauren Poole. So she's going to be playing her granduda's best friend Irma, and Irma is a little talking goat. So Lauren is going to be playing that role. And then there is a big nemesis in our storyline that we're not really going to see, but it's just hinted at. So, but when we see the nemesis coming along, we're going to hear the voice of the mother. So for the mother, we have the actress Laura Martinez Cunningham. So she's going to be playing the voice of the mother. And then finally, for the role of Natisse, which is actually like a Native American warrior. So what we're trying to do is honor our maternal great grandmother, who was named Andrea Abelina Lucero. She was born Montaño. So she was Apache Comanche. So I'm actually going to play that role. But the interesting thing is, we have not cast Granuda. So if people go on to granuda.com, and then when they go to the Kickstarter campaign, because we're going to raise roughly $16,000 to get the actors paid and Maya paid. And so we're actually having an open call for the character of Granuda. So our lead actress has not been found. And ideally, we would love a 8 to 13-year-old, ideally from Northern New Mexico, to play that part. So there is a link with an email address. And what we're doing is just send us material. If your daughter is 11 years old, and she just happens to love animals and maybe has grown up on a sheep, send her our way and we'll take a look, and then perhaps she can play the part of Granuda. How's that sound?
So are you also somewhere on social media so that people can pick up information, or just on the website?
Oh, absolutely. So if you go to granuda.com, and you'll be able to go to Facebook, and we have our site there, what the kids call it, them, our handle, the handle, right? and then on Instagram, it's Granuda Power. So that's the Instagram handle. And then also on Facebook. And then on our books, on our underthecottonwoodtree.com, there'll be links to Granuda, and then they can find the socials on there as well.
So in my in my dreams, always, I was a writer since I was 6 years old. And then I had this, I don't know if you guys know very much about me, but I had this stage 4 colon cancer journey. And so I did write a book. But everything you're talking about is the stuff of dreams to me. It's so interesting that I'm curious to know what your backgrounds are. I mean, I know you didn't just create these kids' books, but what are the other things that you do that got you to this point?
Yeah, a little bit of a background on both Carlos and myself. So Carlos has always been a writer his whole life, and eventually at one time he ended up in Highlands University in Las Vegas, and he got a degree in journalism. And one of the classes that he had over at Highlands was from a visiting professor speaking about screenplays. So one of his assignments was to write a screenplay. So what he did is he grabbed that little short story that we did years ago based on the dream that I had, and he fleshed that out into a full feature-length screenplay, and he turned that into his assignment into the professor at Highlands. So from there, I ended up in, from high school, I left to Los Angeles pursuing dreams of entertainment, right? So I was working as little like low budget horror movies. And one day I was out in the desert playing a cop that was getting killed. And I kept getting buried in the scene. And like, cause they had to set up my chest with squibs and I get shot and then it would actually bruise the chest. And then you die and then you get buried into the little pit that they put you in. But you had to do that 3 or 4 times. And I realized after that, I stand up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have like sand mites all over me. And my chest is all scored and bruised. And I thought to myself, why am I working for this guy telling his story? I want to tell my own stories. So probably the next day I called up Carlos and I said, hey, did you ever finish that script that was based on the little short story? And he said, yeah, I sure did. So I thought, well, what if we tell our own stories? And what are our own stories? Well, stories of folklore and mythology of Northern New Mexico. So ever since then, we continue to work on it. We pitched it around Los Angeles, and then eventually we turned it into the graphic novel, which, again, like Carlos said, is being taught in school systems, including E.J. Martinez Elementary School in Santa Fe. We're quite proud of it. We're quite proud of the fact that there's a professor in Modesto that is using it as children's literature as an example of, and she teaches it. And the academia world has really gravitated towards it. And in fact, there is one professor, his name is Frederick Louis Aldama. So he actually invited us to be a part of an anthology of short stories called out of Latino Graphics. And we were trying to think of what do we do for a short story talking about food and culture in New Mexico. So Carlos and I wrote a story called The Piñon Pickers. And that is going to be coming out in September out of Latino Graphics, edited by Frederick Louis Aldama and out of Ohio State Press. And it's just a little short story, but we're quite proud to talk about something unique, which I guarantee you, someone in Chicago has no idea what piñons and what the cult and what the history of piñon picking is. So we look forward to that. So that's a little bit of a history, but also a future of us.
Well, this is so cool. First of all, you guys are such fun to talk to. So we have to do this again about the time that anthology comes out. But I want folks to find you. I want people to read Under the Cottonwood Tree and everything else. And, you know, I live next door to a director of a really hot New Mexico TV series. So awesome. Maybe I'll get the book and show it to him. The director of Dark Winds lives next door. So
we will buy you, because I know you're drinking tea right now. So we'll definitely buy you some tea. But
I'm really a coffee drinker, but I've already had like 9 cups. Okay. So I thought I should have some tea, but this is so much fun. I hate that, Carlos, we seem to have lost your sound, but it's so cool that we got to all talk to each other.
Yes.
I hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
Just like the commercial.
Yes. Just like a commercial. Anyway, everybody, check out the links in the show notes. Go to granuta.com and find Under the Cottonwood Tree. Are you both credited as the authors?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
And where can people buy your books?
So we're in quite a lot. The main bookstores in Albuquerque, including Treasure House in Old Town. Organic Books, Bookworks, Books on the Bosque. And then Santa Fe, I believe we're in the Garcia's bookstore. I think that's near the plaza. I'm not sure. And then, of course, online, all they have to do is go to utctbook.com or underthecottonwoodtree.com, and you'll see how to purchase it online. And there's PDFs as well.
And what age range are we talking?
We are up to middle school, so they call it
okay.
Yeah, third grade to middle school. the age group is 8 to 11, I believe, or 13. Oh, but Carlos actually has a quote on that. He says, because his internet's a little bit down right now, and he says, if anybody from a kid to an 80-year-old kid can enjoy the book. So
I love that. I love that. Well, Carlos and Paul Meyer, this is so much fun. And I admire what you're doing. It's so interesting and so cool. So let's have you back on the podcast in a few months, okay?
Absolutely, Bunny. Thank you so much for having us. So appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks to all of you for taking the time to listen to the I Love New Mexico podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share it with your friends on social media or by texting or messaging or emailing them a copy of the podcast. If you have a New Mexico story that you'd like to share with us, don't hesitate to reach out. Our email address is ilovenewmexicoblog@gmail.com. And we are always, always looking for interesting stories about New Mexico. Subscribe, share, and write a review so that we can continue to bring you these stories about the land of enchantment. Thank you so much.